Hello and welcome to the Finance Hours podcast. I'm your host Luke, and I'm joined today by my co-host Polina.
Hey Luke, what have you got for us today?
So the British digital bank Monzo has seen its valuation surge to $4.5 billion, which is over 200% from the start of the year. The start of the pandemic was brutal for Monzo, and the stock took quite a hit. This recovery from thousands of new customers has helped revenues double. The valuation follows a fundraising round of $500 million led by the Abu Dhabi Growth Fund. So in February, the bank was valued at £1.25 million, and since then have been exploring new avenues to generate revenue, including buy now, pay later services and potentially cryptocurrency. The reason the pandemic had such a sharp effect on the business was down to a huge reduction in card transactions, and the economy went into hibernation. At the time, Ernst & Young, the auditors, warned about its future as a going concern. And while the growth for Monzo is clearly showing some huge improvements, they are still a way off from their nearest competitors, Revolut, who in July achieved a value of $33 billion at a funding round. On top of this issue, Monzo has faced a number of setbacks in terms of regulation. FCA was investigating the company for potentially breaching anti-money laundering laws, resulting in the firm withdrawing its US banking license application. But investors have seemed to shrug at these factors and have been focused on the doubling revenue, partly a result of diversification. So around 25% of that new revenue has come from new products that Monzo have introduced during the pandemic. The current customer count is at 5 million, and on average, they're bringing in 100,000 new customers monthly. On top of this, they are set to unravel some huge marketing campaigns to capitalize on this momentum, after mostly relying on word of mouth since 2015. And on top of this, there is talks about creating a retail investor platform that will enable users to invest in stocks and cryptocurrencies, although the latter is still in the exploratory stage. Overall, Polina, what we are witnessing is true financial innovation working, and I'm excited to see for Monzo how far they can take this.
500,000 jobs would be at risk under EU plans to effectively ban combustion engine cars by 2035, according to European auto suppliers, the latest in a series of stark warnings about the cost of a rapid transition to emissions-free technology. More than two-thirds of those 501,000 roles would disappear in the 5 years before that date, according to a poll of almost 100 companies for the European Association of Automotive Suppliers, CLEPA, making it difficult to mitigate the social and economic impacts caused by mass unemployment. But the survey by PwC also found that 226,000 new jobs would be created in the manufacturing of electric parts, reducing the net number of job losses to approximately 275,000 over the next couple of decades. The European Commission announced its intention earlier this year to eliminate 100% of CO2 emissions from new cars by 2035. The policy effectively bans the sale of fossil fuel-powered vehicles after that date. While the Commission did not order that these be replaced by battery-powered cars, automakers such as VW, the continent's largest, have all but ruled out other technologies such as hydrogen. CLEPA, which represents more than 3,000 automotive suppliers, has long argued that the use of interim technologies could cushion the blow of the transition to cleaner transport. Carlos Tavares, chief executive of Stellantis, told a Reuters conference on Wednesday that the speed of the transition to electric cars was putting the industry on the limit, adding that the cost of developing new technology could lead to heavy job losses. Last year, a government-sanctioned report warned that approximately 400,000 jobs could be lost in Germany due to the shift away from combustion engines. The VW chief executive said such apocalyptic scenarios had probably been a bit overstated.
You're listening to the Finance Hours podcast, and up next, we've got our biggest winners and our biggest losers of the week.
Shares of Marvell Technology jumped on Friday after the chipmaker delivered better-than-expected fiscal 2022 third-quarter results. Marvell's stock price was up more than 17%. Its net revenue surged 61% year-over-year to $1.2 billion. The semiconductor company enjoyed strong growth across all five of its major business segments. Revenue in Marvell's data center and automotive industrial divisions more than doubled, while sales in its enterprise networking, career infrastructure, and consumer segments increased 56%, 28%, and 20% respectively. Notably, Marvell was able to successfully navigate global supply chain bottlenecks at a time when many of its competitors were struggling to obtain the raw materials they needed for their manufacturing operations. This operational success flowed to the company's financial statements. Marvell's adjusted gross margin improved to 65.1%, up from 63% in the third quarter of fiscal 2021. Its adjusted net income in turn soared 116% to $364 million, or $0.43 per share. That was well above Wall Street's estimates for adjusted per share profits of $0.39. Luke, who's been losing this week?
Right, our biggest loser this week is Stitch Fix, going under the tag SFIX on the NASDAQ. Today they are down 22%. Now, Stitch Fix sell a range of apparel, shoes, and accessories via its website and mobile app. So the company is solely e-commerce. The company's hit some speed bumps, and the share was up $106 in January and is now close to its IPO offering at $18 a share. It's been challenging for Stitch Fix as they acquired a new CEO in August and only added 1,500 new clients quarter to quarter. Now, this number is very minimal given it's an e-commerce presence. The CEO has said that they have invested heavily and expect several quarters in order to materialize on this. But it's very crucial to note that many analysts believe before the pandemic valuations were hugely optimistic, and some point to the pandemic as a rebalance moment for many valuations. As the IPO of Stitch Fix was just before the outbreak, this would somewhat explain the cyclical nature of the stock price. So the IPO was at $15 a share, and the stock price usually spiked over the pandemic as e-commerce was following a similar trend. And then, as we near market stabilization in terms of reacting to the pandemic, the share price tumbles back to its intrinsic value that it was priced at way back before the pandemic.
That's the news. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next week.